This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Wizards open up their NBA season tomorrow night at home, 7 p.m. tip at Capital One Arena against the defending champion Boston Celtics, who won last night in the season's opening game. They blew out the Knicks. I mentioned it earlier, but they tied the NBA record with 29 three-pointers in the game. They had a chance to break the record almost an entire quarter, but they missed their final 13 attempts. Go figure. Jumping on with us right now is our friend Chase Hughes at Chase DC Sports on X on Twitter. Chase, of course, covers the Wizards for Monumental Sports, and he is with us courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. So there were many changes in the offseason. There were, you know, draft choices, plural, in the first round. And before we get started on what is expected this year, why don't you just update for most people, I think, who are listening, who are not involved in the day-to-day transactions of our NBA team, what the roster looks like this year compared to last?
It's a younger roster and a bigger roster. So they really have talked a lot over the past calendar year about getting younger and adding positional size across the board. And I think this, their first full offseason under Michael Winger and Will Dawkins, they were really able to accomplish that. And you saw it in just about every move they made. Certainly the draft picks, Alex Starr, 7-footer, Bub Carrington, 6'4", 6'5", combo guard, and Keyshawn George, who's about 6'8", who's a guard slash forward. But also with a lot of the veterans that they brought in, like Jonas Valanciunas, he's 6'11", 265. Malcolm Brogdon's a 6'4 combo guard. So the Wizards are actually going to be one of the biggest teams in the league. I saw a stat yesterday from Sport Radar that said they're tied with the Portland Trailblazers for the tallest roster based on average height. So they believe that will help them improve their rebounding and their defense, which were two major problems for them last year.
Give me the players that you see being in the starting lineup and let's just say the three or four players that'll get significant time off the bench.
Well, the starting lineup, I don't have 100% certainty on what it's going to look like because they're being very secretive about it. Head coach Brian Keith has given us nothing, but I think it's probably going to look like the first lineup that they had in the preseason, which was a very big lineup. You've got Jordan Poole at 6'4", at point guard. Bilal Coulibaly at 6'7", 6'8", at the two. Kyle Kuzma at the three. Alex Starr at the four. And Jonas Valanciunas at the five. And if they do have that starting lineup, it would be three guys at 6'10" or taller, which is very rare. You've only seen two teams over the past 3 years have lineups like that for a majority of their games. It's the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers. So those guys are definitely in the rotation. Then I would say Bub Carrington, Marvin Bagley, Corey Kispert, Brogdon once he's healthy. And then Keyshawn George is somebody that if you asked me about a month ago, I probably would have not included in that mix. He's the 24th overall pick in last June's draft, but he played so well in the preseason that I expect him to be in the rotation.
Really? What kind of level of competitiveness do you expect? Is this going to be a 15-win team, or are they better than that?
I think they're better than that. The over-under, I was looking at it yesterday in sportsbooks, is I think 21.5. I think they can get to 20 wins this year. I mean, obviously they're not judging it by wins and losses. So I think what I'm going to be focusing on more than anything is where they rank defensively. They were 28th last year in defensive rating, but they added a lot of help in that area, not just with Alex Starr and his rim protection with the second overall pick, but I think Jonas Valanciunas is going to have a profound impact on this team. They were undersized last year at the center position, and they were the worst rebounding team in the league. They were last in rebound percentage. He led the NBA in that category 2 years ago. He was 8th last year. He's top 10 all-time in rebound percentage. And he also last year was second in the league in total box outs. So it's not just him either. They got a bunch of other guys who can help rebound the ball, but they gave up the most second chance points of any team last year. So I think if they can shore up their rebounding, they're going to have a better defense, maybe a top 20 defense this year, and that'll get them over the 15 wins that they managed last season.
They gave Corey Kispert a new deal. That was yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, it was right up to the deadline. Monday at 6 p.m. was the deadline. The news broke in the 4 o'clock hour. And, yeah, he said he was pretty confident that something would get done, but it still, you know, pushed all the way to the deadline. And this has been the front office's M.O. So far. You know, they re-signed Denny Avdia a year ago under very similar circumstances. They retained Kyle Kuzma the summer before that. So they have shown a propensity to keep players, at least when it comes down to negotiating contracts. And in this case, I think they got a pretty good deal for both sides. A young guy who's 25 years old, who's gotten better every year, and I think really embodies a lot of the things that they want to have in their program in terms of his work ethic. And the way he plays offensively in particular, he's a really good team player. He's a good passer, shooter, good at respacing when he doesn't have the ball, and he's become really good at finishing around the rim.
What are you expecting, Chase, from Alex Sarr in his rookie year?
I think really good defense, and then offense, it's a question mark, but I think what we saw in the preseason was the potential there. You know, I think in the summer league, obviously he shot a terrible percentage, but there's just no structure in the summer league. Everyone's out there fighting for their NBA livelihoods, and there's not a whole lot of passing, not a whole lot of trying to get the big man in rhythm. So I think with more spacing, we saw what he could do from three-point range. But really, that pick, at least in the short term, was all about defense. And you know, if you look at his numbers, he blocked a lot of shots, not only in the summer league but also in the preseason. He's 7 feet tall. He's got a 7'4" wingspan. He's got quick feet, and I think he's got good timing and instincts on blocking and altering shots. So I think he could have a huge impact because he does best what the Wizards really, really need, which is rim protection. Last year, they gave up the most points and the highest shooting percentage in the restricted area. So I think Alex Sarr could go a long way towards helping them there.
You know, I think last year's draft, everybody kind of agrees that, at least, I mean, we never know. Obviously, Giannis and Kawhi, we've got plenty of examples of guys that have gone in the middle of the first round that have ended up being superstars. And, of course, Jokic, the best player in the game, you could argue, went in the second round. But I think, you know, this process that they're going through will include, you know, a lot of young players, a lot of drafted players. Koulibaly kicked it off, 3 players this past draft. Hopefully, you know, a top level pick for a guy like Cooper Flagg in 2025, and you hope to land on one or two of them, and maybe one that ends up being, you know, a true superstar. And I'm just wondering if there's any sense, and we haven't seen him play a game yet, you know, at the NBA level, but do you think that, you know, Bub Carrington, Kyshawn George, or Alex Sarr, one of these three will emerge as they got that guy right and it made all the difference in the world, you know, when we get to 2028?
I think there's a good chance. Yeah, I mean, I think the Wizards, their approach to the draft was one, they recognized that it didn't have the high-end level talent that other drafts do, the can't-miss stars. But oftentimes those guys don't end up being can't-miss. But they saw depth in the first round. So what they wanted to do was take as many bites at the apple as they could. And they went into the draft, of course, with 2 first-round picks. The second one netted them Kyshawn George that came via the Daniel Gafford trade. But they wanted a third one, and they really liked Bub Carrington, and they had to part with something valuable to get that draft pick, and they did that with Denny Avdia. So taking 3 guys just increases the odds that one of them, at least one of them, will end up being a real difference maker. And hopefully, you know, for them, 2 or 3 guys end up being pillars of a contending team down the road. But what they wanted to get a quantity of draft picks, and also stay true to what they believe, which is that positional size, you know, not only raises the ceiling of a young player, but also the floor, because they go out there and they're not playing at a disadvantage because they're shorter or slower or not as long as the other guys on the court. So they feel really confident in those 3 players. And I think Sarr, the defense, Bub Carrington, the advanced ability to create his own shot off the dribble, and Kyshawn George, just his size, his shooting, and his basketball IQ, they really like the future of those guys, but they'll be the first to admit that, you know, you got to see it play out over many years of time. And Will Dawkins and Michael Winger have both said that, you know, when you draft a guy, you do it understanding they're not going to reach their peak for probably 8 to 10 years.
8 to 10 years. Yeah, that's something else. But he's not wrong, which makes this next question still rather premature. But what are you expecting from Coulibaly in year two?
I think he's going to be noticeably more confident, assertive, and athletic. He grew an inch over the past calendar year. He's now 6'7" without shoes, so he's 6'9" on the court. He gained 10 pounds of muscle. You can really notice it when you're around him. His shoulders are bigger, and it really stood out to me in the preseason just how confident and aggressive he was on the court. Like, he just plays like a guy now who knows that he's big for his position, and he's one of the best athletes out there. And you saw it on a few plays in particular. He went up and blocked Scotty Barnes. His head was basically at the rim. And I think he's going to, you know, experience a lot of advantages just by being big and athletic for his position. Now, the skill set we'll have to see play out over time. He's worked a lot on his ball handling and his shooting. That might take a few years, but I think defensively he's ready to be a significant factor this year. We saw it last year, but now an inch taller and 10 pounds of muscle, you know, in his repertoire, I think you're going to see him be a real, real plus on the defensive end.
What's the end game with Poole and Kuzma?
Well, it's a good question because it's something we've been following over the past calendar year plus, and they're still here, right? Obviously, there's been a lot of questions about their future. And, you know, Kyle Kuzma, I'm just about to file a story about, you know, he was talking about how he wants to be here for the long haul. You know, he understands that he might not be here long enough to see the Wizards become title contenders, but he is embracing his role in helping them get there. And, you know, if he ends up leaving in a couple years or whatever it ends up being and looks back and feels like he made an impact on the culture and the development of young players and, you know, they win something without him, then he'll feel good about the impact that he had. And Jordan Poole, you know, I think the Wizards look at what he did after the All-Star break last year and are very encouraged by that. He was much better once he started playing on the ball as their primary point guard, which he will do this season. But one thing to watch there that I think will be interesting is there's going to be another adjustment for everybody because they don't want to play with a traditional primary ball handler. They want to have multiple initiators on the perimeter. They want to have five guys on the court who can attack off the dribble. So it is going to be an adjustment for him, but I think they're very encouraged with the way he played at the end of last season.
Chase, is it true that at the trade deadline last year that they could have gotten a first rounder back for Kyle, and I forget from whom, and he really didn't want to go, so they kept him? I mean, what you just described I've heard many times, but could they have gotten something back for him? Was there that exchange of them going to Kyle Kuzma and asking him if he wanted to be traded?
I believe so. It was reported by Josh Robbins, and there were quotes on the record, Josh Robbins of The Athletic. So, I think it's been acknowledged by Kyle Kuzma, at least himself. And, you know, that was an indication of his commitment to the Wizards' future. But then also on Media Day, he really doubled down, you know, talking about the future and saying, you know, at some point I'm going to be long gone and tired. And, you know, I'll be at peace with looking back and seeing the Wizards play well and contend for playoff berths and titles, you know, understanding that he had an impact on that process. So, Kyle Kuzma, I think we've seen it and those types of actions and also have heard it in his words that, you know, he's definitely embracing the vision that the Wizards are trying to set forth.
He's an interesting player. I think a lot of people, because the team's been really bad, you know, haven't followed it as closely. He's a good player, an excellent player. He's just an interesting guy all the way around. I mean, I've had him on the show a few times. I think he's very bright, and I think the organization really does like him. I mean, if they could get good in, say, 3 years and be a playoff team, you know, he'd be, what, 31, 32 at that point? How has it been to cover him?
It's been great, honestly. He's great to deal with from a beat reporter perspective. You know, obviously, he lives kind of a flashy lifestyle if you follow him on social media. Yep. You know, made his name in L.A. playing for the Lakers. But he's an extremely down-to-earth person that I think is easy to talk to and introspective and open when you do talk to him. So he's been great to cover, and I can tell you that you know, he's a very competitive guy, and I think the Wizards like the intangibles he brings because, you know, he's proven that he can succeed in different environments. You know, he came into a rebuilding Lakers team, played well, then they got good, and he was the third leading scorer on a title team. He's come to Washington and played for mediocre teams, for bad teams, for teams that wanted to make the playoffs, and all along he's continued to get better. So I think they like his work ethic, they like the example he sets, and they like the character that he brings to their locker room.
How many wins?
I'll go with 20. I think right around that range. I think that would be a good step forward for the Wizards. Again, I'm focused mostly on the defense this year, but I think 20 wins just to me sounds about right because it's, you know, a win a week pretty much on average, and I think that would be good for the, you know, for the overall vibes of the organization to take a step forward. But I think more important for the big picture is the improvement defensively because that's what they really want to improve in. And if you look at these teams that go on deep playoff runs in the NBA postseason, usually they have very good defensive.
See Minnesota. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you do want them to finish in the bottom three and have the best chance with two other teams to get number one overall because 2024 was not a draft with a transcendent player, but I think most people believe 2025 is with Cooper Flagg. Do you agree?
Well, Cooper Flagg looks incredible. I mean, I don't know if people out there have seen his highlights. It was an exhibition game that Duke played against, you know, some team that's, you know, not going to be in the Final Four exactly. But, I mean, his size and athleticism on the court jumps out right away. This guy looks like one of the best athletes I've seen in college basketball in quite some time. But I think the Wizards and any other team that, you know, has a chance to get the top pick in this draft can probably take solace in the fact that it's not just Cooper Flagg. There's a bunch of other guys that I think would have been in the conversation for the number one pick last year. Rutgers has two of them, Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper.
Dylan Harper
is the son of Ron Harper, who, of course, won a bunch of titles in the NBA. And then there's VJ Edgecombe at Baylor. There's another French player, a point guard named Nolan Trier. So there's a lot of depth at the top. This has a chance, I mean, to honestly be one of the better drafts that the NBA has seen in quite some time when you look at that top five to top six. So, you know, if you get the number one pick, that's great. But I think if you're second, third, fourth, fifth, you still have a chance to get a pretty much a can't-miss star.
All right. Just real quickly before I let you run, who, if anybody, challenges Boston in the East?
I think the Knicks are the team that really is really the only team that has a realistic shot. I know they didn't look very good against Boston last night, but they're loaded in talent. The defensive pieces that they have combined with what Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns can do offensively, I like their ceiling. It's just about whether they can stay healthy because they weren't healthy in the playoffs last year. Their whole roster essentially broke down. I give them a much better chance than Philly. We're already seeing Philly, you know, not have Joel Embiid and Paul George in the lineup. As good as Tyrese Maxey is, you know, those guys have to stay healthy. So I would just bet on the depth of the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that you can rely on Paul George to be healthy, it's almost the equivalent of relying on Kawhi Leonard to be healthy. I mean, he's missed a lot of games, too, not to mention that playoff struggles seem to follow him. What about out West? Give me the final two teams in the West, and then who advances to the finals?
The final two teams in the West, I think the Oklahoma City Thunder are getting through the Western Conference. You know, obviously they were a tremendous team last year, fell short in the second round, but all of their best players have a chance to get better because they're so young. I mean, even Shai Gilgeous-Alexander could get better. I think Chet Holmgren's going to be a tremendous NBA player. I think Jalen Williams is going to get better. I like the Caruso addition, and I think they'll get past the Denver Nuggets in the conference finals.
Yeah. I still like Denver's chances. I just don't get the Westbrook thing. And I don't get the Jokic embracing the Westbrook thing. Do you?
Yeah, obviously we're going to have to see that play out. But I do give Russell Westbrook a lot of credit for how he has kind of transformed himself. As we've seen with other NBA stars, it's not easy to do. It's not a given. And I think a lot of people had question marks about Russell Westbrook and could he go from being a superstar to still a really good NBA player and all-star to essentially a role player who embraces that position, you know, coming off the bench. And he's done it. And I think he's done it fairly well. Whether it's going to work in Denver, we'll see. But with Jokic and Jamal Murray and the talent they have, I think they can make another run at it.
Love watching OKC play, too. I'm with you on that. All right, thanks. Hope you're well. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. You too. Thanks for having me.
Chase Hughes, everybody, from Monumental Sports at Chase DC Sports on X on Twitter. Joining us, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter, Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Denton's got some news for
us. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
First, next, it's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.